Folks, let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing a few songs, and I have my short Easter presents evening service for you. Well, if you would, Brother, would you open up this wee bit of the service for us?
Father, give us this day, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship, thank you for the food, thank you for your blessing, Lord. Give us a blessing as well. Give more abundant grace to us, Lord. See souls here, mighty and powerful, Lord, lost and redeemed by your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Give us your this short service, Lord. With Mark goes to the gospel, may the reading be tuned to people's hearts and minds, Lord. See us with mind and heart, Lord. And give us the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Right, number 20 in the big book. Number 20 in the big book is one that I have liked for many years. It speaks about the Passover. It's the one I was talking about earlier on when we were singing a different one. But I love this song. Let's play this track. That didn't have the blood of the slain lamb on the doorposts and on the lintels of the house, the destroyer went into the house without that blood and killed the firstborn in the house. And so that little hymn takes us from the Old Testament right the way through to the New Testament and tells us that whenever the destroyer or the judge sees the blood of Christ on you, he will pass over you. I love that song. Anyway, amen. Amen. We'll do 3:5:5 next, back by popular demand from this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. 3:5:5 in the big book. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you're able to stand, let's stand. If you want to sit, just sit. But let's make a joyful noise.
Strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth they shall no more come unto thee, the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Blessed saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, and people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. And therefore, what have I here, saith Lord, that my people take away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name.
Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak good that is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring against Zion. Break forth with joy, sing together, ye wastelands of Jerusalem. The Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the end of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord, for ye shall not go out without haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Joel, my servant, shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high, as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the king shall shut their mouths of them, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Amen.
Some good verses there just towards the end of that. It's a prophecy about the beating that the Lord took before he went to the cross, where it talks about his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Because when they beat the Lord before they put him on the cross, they actually pulled off lumps of his flesh as they plucked his beard. And they beat him and punched him. And then they did that. They ripped the back off of him with the cat of nine tails. And one other portion of scripture says that he received all those wounds in the house of his friends. In other words, it would be the Jews that had him crucified. So very sad that he had to go through that for each and every one of us. But I am glad that he did, because I wouldn't have survived paying for my own sins. None of us would. I'm thankful for a Savior that loves me that much, that he went through that much for me. Amen. Thank you for that. Just a reminder, we're not going through any more prayer requests. If you're interested in praying for folks, make sure you take one of those home. That's just for the folks in the church and our prayer requests. Other than that, amen. Let's sing another song, and then we will open our Bibles for 10 or 15 minutes, and consider that my Easter present to you.
Better
than a piece of chocolate. We've already had the chocolate. Norman brought those lovely chocolate cakes, and I've already enjoyed those, so we'll enjoy a short Easter afternoon service. Number 39 in the Black Books, number 39. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. But we're going to sing Morning Has Broken. Amen.
Praise for them.
seated. Thank you very much indeed. And I'd just like to thank everybody again. I know I do. Some people, I think, maybe call me an overthanker, but I am very appreciative of all of the contributions. We're at the tail end of Revelation, the last chapter in Revelation, Revelation 22. Thank you all for being here. It's good to see. It's good to see. If I say old, the same old faces, it's not in a bad way. It's good to see. It's good to see folks. It's good to see old friends and old family. And you get into trouble here. might end up sitting just in front of Norman there and being in that much trouble. But it's good to see you all here. Thank you for your sweet treats and meats and one thing and another, and your help and all of that stuff. I enjoy that. I enjoyed the fellowship and enjoyed seeing each other. This is the very last book of the Bible. We are going to be looking in particular at verse number 11 as our text. And let's read. There's only 21 verses. Revelation 22, beginning at verse number 1. The word of God says, "And he," that is God, "showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he saith unto me, These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have a quick prayer and then we will go on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again to spend a few minutes in your word. Please bless it to us, Lord. And whenever we're all done, please see us safely home again. Thank you, Lord, for a bit of fellowship, for all of the food that graced our plates and our tables today, and for each soul that's here, Lord. Please just speak to each one of us, Lord. We really do need you, and we do love you. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is the last chapter in the book. I have read it, and the Christian wins. You throw your lot in with Christ, and you win. But even as we start this portion of God's Word, I just want to give you a brief rundown of all of the things that this last chapter of the Word of God says. First of all, it tells us of a beautiful scene where there is a tree called the Tree of Life, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. In other words, there's going to be a common theme through all the peoples of all of the world that are in this place, in the holy city, and that is that they love the Lord. Only saved souls are getting into this city, and whenever it comes to being saved, it doesn't matter what colour of your skin or how much money is in your bank account or what language you speak. The only important thing is that you're saved. And that is the common thread and the foundation for every relationship in Christ. So it says everyone will get on because everyone will be saved. Everyone will have the same Heavenly Father, and everyone will be in heaven. It also talks about there not being any day or night because the light of God. It is an interesting thing to note at the very, very beginning of the Bible, it says, God said, let there be light. And the first light that was the light of God, and the last light that will be is the light of God. As John was writing these things down, the Lord God said unto him, he will come quickly. Now you might think this was written down 2,000 years ago, but I am going to tell you, friends, for everybody that lives in this world, the end of your life comes surprisingly quickly. Whenever you look back on your life and you think, I remember doing that when I was 14, and here I am, nearly 60. Where did all of those years go? How many more years do I have to go? The Lord's time will come quickly in your life. It will come most times suddenly and unexpectedly. And you are going to meet with Jesus. I would urge you to meet him as a friend, as a savior, not as a judge. You do not want to meet Christ as a judge. That means that you never accepted him as Savior and you never became his friend. The Lord will come quickly. As we read on, we see a couple of verses that are very, very important. Verse 11. Well, verse 10 says, don't be hiding what's written in this book. This book needs to be read, needs to be preached on, and people need to understand. For instance, one of the reasons why it's hated so much is because Revelation 17 and Revelation 18 describe the Catholic Church and the destruction of the Catholic Church, and it's not popular. So God said to John, don't be making a secret of this, tell everybody, because every person, each soul, has a soul that is valuable, that is precious in God's sight. And whether they be Catholic, Protestant, Hindu, Muslim, Jew, whatever it is, the soul is precious and God needs for people to know. But here is one little verse. Because a lot of people in this world today, even in Christian churches, think that they will get to the end of their lives and that they will stand before God the judge and they will say, well, God, I went to church for an hour every week. I was good to my wife, my husband. I raised my kids right. I honored my mother and father. I was good to my neighbors. I helped little old ladies and little old men across the road. If anybody wants to buff up on those, you can help my dad back and cross forward across the Maboy Road a dozen times there. If that builds up your good karma, that's fine, you can do that. But this is what the Bible says. Many people think they're going to stand and God's going to say, these are all the good deeds you did. But the thing about it is, a lot of those things that people call good deeds is just natural love and affection. It's things you should be doing anyway. There's nothing special about them. And God says, I'll give you half of them. So you have about 1,000 good deeds. Now let's see your bad deeds. How many times did you tell a wee white lie? Or did you just not tell all of the truth? Because that's a lie as well. And you might be up to, I think I lied a lot when I was a child, so I might have done 5,000 lies. How many times did you take something that wasn't yours? I'm going to let you into a wee secret. My mum used to be a big baker. And every Sunday, there was 3 or 4 loaves of wheaten bread, and there was maybe 2 dozen scones, and there might have been a tray or two of tray bakes like Christine supplied. And my dad used to say, those buns are for me and your mother. You guys get yourself a piece of bread and butter like that was ever going to fly. And then when it came to the end of the week and there were no buns left, who ate the buns? Nobody ever ate the buns. The buns, they just evaporated, turned into fresh air in the box, and they were all gone. Those are lies. Even if they're said in innocency and we laugh about them, they're still lies. And that's things that are taken without permission. You might think that's a bit stupid, but that's still taking something without permission. If you take a pencil home from work, it's not yours. That's theft. We're not talking about walking into a shop and filling our pockets with jewellery or money or taking stuff out of the till or beating somebody up, which is violence and possibly murder. And before you know it, you're a murderer, you're a liar, you're a thief. And in God's eyes, you have broken his law tens of thousands of times. And all of a sudden, you're 20,000-30,000 in the red. And the Bible says that if you break the least of these, my commandments, you have broken the whole law. We are in the red to a big tune, if that's the right analogy. So if you step off into eternity without Christ's sacrifice to wipe out your sins, I'm afraid to tell you, and I know for a fact, that you will not go to heaven. But if you step off into eternity having apologized to Jesus and asking him to save you, you will go to heaven. But you have to do it before you die. Because verse 11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. In other words, if you die as a lost man, you stay in eternity as a lost man. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's talking about being covered in sins. But it also says, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Righteous through Christ. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Holy only through Jesus Christ. Don't be thinking that you'll get it sorted out after you die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Again, we mentioned that the Lord does come quickly and unexpectedly in many people's lives. You might think, even as a young person, Lena, you're the youngest one here at the moment. You must be what, 17? 17 years old, you're the youngest by a wee bit. Frank, you're not the youngest today. You might think life will be very, very long, and I hope it is for you, I really do. Sadly, if you ever read the back pages on the newspaper, you will find people of all ages whose lives were over, maybe not even through their own fault, but through the fault of others. It is so important that you make sure the greatest insurance policy that has ever graced the face of this earth has your name on it. The Lord said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments." In other words, if you don't, you're not blessed. Because if you do, you get into heaven. Verses 15 tells us that people that's not saved, that have put other things in front of God, are not getting them. That's just what it says. And as we go on, we get the last few words of warning to people that don't like these words to be heard, because they know how many religions it undermines and says that's just complete and utter rubbish. If you think about the Catholic faith speaks of a purgatory after you die. The Mormon faith speaks of a similar purgatory called a spiritual prison after you die, where you go and you get your sins burned off, or you get a chance to make a second decision. That's not biblical. It doesn't work. And you see in the lives of Mormons and Roman Catholics that whatever it is they believe is not working and is not true, for they are able to curse the Lord and his mother and his stepfather, and they're able to curse the Holy Spirit and use the name of Jesus to damn people to hell, the only name that is salvation. They can take the Lord's name in vain, they can drink, they can shack up together, they can have children, they can walk into a cupboard with a man, tell him all their troubles and think that everything's fine. There's only one man you can tell all your troubles to and know they will be forgiven, and that is Jesus Christ. Make sure you get to. There's a dire warning. There's a reason we use the King James Bible and we don't use the NIV or Good News for Modern Man or any of those other Bibles, because God has a dire warning for anyone that would mess with his word. If you take away something from the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the cross is really simple. Admit you're wrong to God and ask him to save you. That's all it takes to get saved. If you take away that ease and you start putting in, well, you ask God to save you, but then you have to turn up in church and you have to put money in the plate and you have to sing. How many of us wouldn't make it to heaven if it was dependent upon our singing? I certainly wouldn't. I can make a noise and sometimes it hits the notes. But if it was dependent upon me, I would be done. If someone presents a gospel like that, and many churches do, this is what God says. You'll get the plagues that are in the book, the 21 of them. In other words, you're not saved. And if any man takes away, even like hides, do you know how many churches won't look at the book of Revelation? They're hiding the teachings of the cross. They're hiding God's prophecies about the judgments coming to this world. Do you know what the Bible says? God shall take his part out of the book of life. That means they're not saved. They're not going to heaven. That's serious. Because God wants us to know as much as we can so that we can get to heaven. God wants us all saved. That's just it's not a big thing. Sometimes people think, well, if I get saved, am I going to have to stand in the corner of a car park with a megaphone? And I want you to pray about this, because there's a motion going through in Northern Ireland now to stop people with megaphones being out in the streets. In other words, the law is persecuting the Christian, just like the Bible said it would. People need to hear. Anyone that stands in the way of it, the Bible says it. Never ask some questions about what it is that they're doing. But there's dire warnings. Don't mess with my word. I want people in heaven. Their souls are precious. It doesn't mean you'll be like me. It doesn't mean you'll have to come up with three or four or five messages every week. doesn't mean you have to stand in the corner of a car park. You can do as much with your Christian life as you want to do, or you can do as little with your Christian life as you want to do. But the thing about it is, you can't lose it once you have it, because Jesus keeps a hold of it. It's absolutely forever, and you won't get into heaven without it. As I was reading about this, and reading these verses, I got to thinking about the excellent messages that will have been preached across the world, at least in the UK this morning. I think there'll just be some churches will be warming up to preach. And I think over in America, another couple of hours, people's maybe still lying in their beds or shaving at the moment, and they're 5 hours behind us. There's better preachers than me out there, more eloquent, longer service, although I'm fairly long in the tooth now. But length of service does not mean quality of outcome. How many people are going to hear an excellent Easter message? How many people? And how many of those people that hear an excellent Easter message with the gospel there and the love of God portrayed in the work that Christ did for us on the cross? I'm going to say something. It's lovely to see everybody out in their Sunday best. It is. And their clean clothes, and they smell clean, and they've got good manners, and they don't put food all over their cookbook that I know I didn't spill any today. Can you imagine at the end of our lane there's about 30 or 40 tons of cow manure, and it stinks to high heaven. And when we walk past it, there's clouds of those wee midges. And you know where they have been. If they land on you, you know where they were before they landed on you. It's a health hazard. You wouldn't want to be there for much longer than the minute or two it takes to walk past it. And it gives you the heebie-jeebies. Makes you shudder. And you can see the steam rising off of it in the cold weather, so you know there's stuff going on deep down inside. It's filthy. It stinks. It's unhealthy. Is there anybody here would like to pitch a tent beside it and live there and every day have the smell of that manure in your nose, and every time you open your eyes you've got wee midges lamping on you and biting you, and you know where they've been? Anybody here like to live their life like that? Why not? That's what Jesus did for us. He came down to this world, a world that is dying, populated by people that he could literally see dying. And he lived with us for 33 years. He preached the gospel. He did miracles. He raised the dead. He changed the lives of so many people. And then he died one of the most horrible, excruciating deaths that has ever been devised by man. Because he loved us. I don't know of anybody that I would love enough to live beside that pile of manure. And yet all of that manure is going to be worked into the fields, and someday we'll be eating the spuds from it. Next Easter we'll be eating the spuds that were pulled out of the fields. But Jesus did that so that he could get something great out of this dying world, and that is us. He wanted us saved. But how many people are going to hear about that portrayed so eloquently that it will tug on heartstrings, and they're just going to continue on? They'll shake hands with the minister. They'll slap him on the back and they will say, "Excellent message, Pastor. Excellent message, Your Reverence." Or Reverend Joe Blogg. "Excellent message." And then they'll go out and it'll just be business as usual. And I got to thinking, that's pretty serious. That is never the aim of the Lord. The aim of the Lord is that we hear the gospel, we realize our need, and we accept his Son as Savior. And then we live according to the gospel in a way that pleases God. But that's only a tiny, tiny percentage of everybody. This is talking about people living their whole lives as lost souls and then spending the whole of eternity as lost souls, or living, coming to know Christ as Savior and living the rest of their lives as saved souls and then going into eternity as saved souls. I would really, really love for folks to be saved. That's what I want. I want what Jesus wants. I want what the Bible says. Because I just spent the day with Christians and good friends, and I enjoy that. I don't have to worry about strife or lies or people doing stuff behind your back. We're here because we love the Lord and we love each other. I enjoy that. And I look forward to that out in the world. Sorry, out in eternity. But I have sat in the world. I have worked in the world. And you will get backbiting. You will get kingdom making. You will get lying and cheating. You will get people that are prepared to take and use all of your work for their good, steal all the glory for everything that you have done. And that'll never change. God doesn't want it. I got to thinking about some people just never change. And I don't want that for anybody. Certainly anybody that I know. And all the people we have put the leaflets in through the doors. The TV tells us that everything will be grand after we beat the Russians and beat the Jews. Everything will be grand, but we know that it won't be. We know that you can never appease or satisfy people that are wrong. They always want something more. They tell us that everything will be fine once they have eliminated the Christian influence in the country by making it difficult to hand out leaflets. It's now illegal in Belfast to hand out leaflets. And soon to be illegal to take a megaphone and preach the gospel. Everything will be better then. No, it won't. Because even the background reminder of Jesus Christ keeps people from doing bad things. I would love for people to change. There's a few things in this world that don't change. Jesus Christ is one of them. In Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's verse 8, it says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that created the world and nurtured and kept his people and walked amongst his people and did miracles is the same Jesus that's waiting to hear from us up in heaven, even today. Our need for him has not changed. We still need Jesus. There's a few things that do change. Standards, they have dropped through the floor. They really have. Even in the 18 years I was at Desmond's, dropped through the floor. What's seen as right by our governments, that changes almost daily. The things that are taught in schools, that changes. Fashions change. Building techniques change. There's a lot of stuff that changes. But of all the stuff that does change, there's only one that God's really interested in, and that's you and me. And he wants us to change. He wants us to change. He wants us to change from sinners on the broad road that leads to hell and destruction, the saved souls that are on the straight and narrow route to life. And I would not want for anybody that I know and have spoken to and love and want the best for to be one of those ones that is unjust and filthy stepping off into eternity. I really wouldn't want that for anybody. There will come a day, and I pray you have time, that you see your time coming, and to seriously think about all that you've done. and whether it's enough to get to the heaven or whether it's a comfort enough. I was just speaking with John before he left, and I know that my time in hospital was great, very informative. But whenever your life is in jeopardy, you're not thinking about food or clothing or favorite movies or anything like that. All that you're thinking about is what comes next. And am I ready? And I would urge you to be ready. God wants the best for you. All the souls in this church want the best for you too. And God has done everything that needs to be done for that best for you. And all that requires of you and I is to say, do you know what? Even as Christians, do you know what, God? You're right. I'm wrong. Please save me. Then you're a Christian. And then as Christians to say, do you know what, God? You're right. And I'm wrong. I've been wrong about drinking. I've been wrong about smoking. I've been wrong about living in sin. I've been wrong about taking your name in vain. I've been wrong about not reading the Bible and saying the prayers. That's all God's asking for. And you will find life gets much better as a result. He came to give us life, and that more abundantly. He wants that for every single one of us. But he leaves the decision up to us to make the right decision. God bless you. Thank you very much indeed for your good time and attention and your fellowship and company today. I really appreciate it. There is no other place I would rather have been today. And I am glad you were here to share it with us. God bless you. We're going to close with that song, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Can't give you the number until I open it and find out what it is.
19.
Number 19. Number 19 in the black book. Let's stand, if you're able, as we sing, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Hymn number 19 in the wee black book. Thank you. Well, would you dismiss us with a wee word of prayer, brother, if you would?
Dear Father, thank you for the food, the fellowship, the Lord, the service as well. More importantly, Lord, thank you for your blessing, Lord. Give us grace, one line is through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for the cross, God the Son, sacrificed on the cross for our sins. See us with mind and part, Lord, collect those that are lost, Lord, and bring them to the fold of Jesus Christ and saving grace, Lord, and the free gift of eternal life, Lord. As we depart our home this evening, we also pray for the churches that are finished, Lord, and see souls saved by the power of the great name glorified, both from this time, this city, Lord, this country, and throughout the world, Lord, as is due to us, Lord, that we should do. Glorify and praise thy great and holy name, and especially Lord Jesus Christ, who died to save us from our sins. Depart our home safe, Lord, may it be a start for a quick accepted week, and Lord, pray for the case for Jesus Christ, amen.
Yeah, thank you. Well, folks, God bless you. We're dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.
Thank you for the lovely meeting. You're welcome. Thank you very much for coming. Good. And Monty,
you
get
to
meet you, sir. I've been annoyed with the afternoon. The time you asked for the land coming back, I said to Mark, all those times we've got the land out of way and we've been talking about all the stuff around and shaking the rest of the day.
Thank you for the
way.